Okay, good evening, everyone. It's good to have you with us today and tonight. And this is a kind of a thoughtful day for me because my wife went to sleep in the Lord tomorrow, 1 year.
Yep, 24.
About 4:45 in the afternoon tomorrow. She will have been gone from us for 1 year. And I continually are reminded of those things with the dealings around the house. And, you know, you can't really get, well, I guess 1 year is not very much time to really get away from it, but it seems to kind of stick with you as you go along. Turn with me again to Ecclesiastes 5, and we'll finish up with chapter 5. We like to, 3 or 4 verses or 5 verses here, getting through the 5th chapter last week. And we're going to go to Ecclesiastes 5. If you have a companion Bible, it's on page 912. And today's study, we're going to start with verse 16, and this is study 8 in the book of Ecclesiastes. Study 8, and today's date is May the 23rd, 2018. And we're going through some of the personal observations now that Solomon had in his in giving out his bits of wisdom here. And the personal observations run from the 13th verse of chapter 5. To the 9th verse of chapter 6. And so we got down through the 15th verse of Ecclesiastes 5, as I said last week. And we're talking now about this one, verse of Scripture 16, where we're going to start. He's talking about self-labor here, and this has been part of a large portion of the amount of stuff that he has revealed to us about what God has given him in his wisdom. So, Ecclesiastes 5:16, it says this, "And this also is a sore evil." Well, let's just go back and read 15 because we need to go back there to start, really. He says, "As he or man came forth from his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hands." So Solomon's making an observation there that we came here with nothing, we're going to leave here with nothing. So basically, it works that way. But let's look at 16 now, which is our study. And it says, "And this also is a sore evil, that in all points, as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that had labored for the wind?" Okay, so we're going to take that out. Verse 16, it says, "This also is a sore." That word there, I think in the English, is kahala. The sore there is 2470 in the Strong's. And it's a disease or something that can be passed on to others. or an evil that is passed on. And in this case, that's what it is, an evil, a sower evil, he says, something like a disease that can be passed on, that in all points, or with his genes, as he came, so shall he go. So the only thing that he's born with is that that makes him what he is, that those genes, or that gene pool that makes up the individual. And so he says this is a sore evil, something that certainly is passed on. And we know that we're all born in sin, and this evil goes with us. And that all men, all of Adam's race, are born in sin. And the only thing that he has was his gene pool. And he says, so that's how he came. So shall he go there. And then it says, and what profit or what advantage hath he that hath labored or toiled for the wind or that that blows in the wind? Because as far as Solomon was concerned, everything that man does was just like he put it out there and the wind can do with it what it chooses to do. Because that's God's work. The wind is God's work. So man can't really withstand God's work. Sooner or later, it's going to overcome that in that situation. So he says, as he came, so shall he go. It doesn't matter what his gene pool is. He's going to go to the grave with what he was given by his mom and dad when he come to this earth. Then we get down to 17. And it says, in 17, Solomon talks about it being profitless. That it seems to him like all this is just a motion, that man is in a motion, and that this motion keeps him going until he's no longer here. But it, of course, it is all dealing with the test that man is in while he's here on the earth. So it says all his days or all his life, he also eateth. And I put a note in my notes there that man eateth as Eve eateth. She got the sinful thing by not obeying God and eating the wrong thing. And so it's pretty evident that this was passed on. It says, eateth in darkness. And about everywhere you see darkness in Scripture, even, you know, I went back in a little study that I had back during the conference, and I didn't do a very good job of that because I was hurting because I was trying to get rid of a kidney stone that I had. And it almost got the best of me before I got away from there to be able to get rid of it. But darkness, you know, we were talking about light and darkness. And light is what God is. Light is the Word. The Word and the light are the same. You know, Jesus, when he spoke the Word, but he was the light before he spoke the Word. And for the first 3 days, ever how long God's days were at that point, he was the light. It was on the fourth day that God, or the Word, created the sun and the moon and the things that went with it. But we find out that Satan is the author of the lie, and the lie is always sin, and the lie is always darkness. You know, and when a man, you know, how do you consider people when you're doing business with them? If they're lying to you all the time, or not telling you the truth, or you see that what they're trying to sell you or what they're trying to get across to you is not right, then you see that individual as darkness. But if someone is on the up and up and you can see the light in them, and if Christ is in them, you can see the light in them. And so therefore that's a different thing. And I've always, recently I've come to understand this, that, you know, that no one should be homeless, because if they're in tune with Christ, somebody will see that and somebody will help them to overcome whatever that situation that they're in. But if somebody won't help themselves, or if somebody is trying to take advantage of somebody else, then people don't really want to have anything to do with those folks. And so when you talk about darkness, it's a little more than we ordinarily think about sometimes, because the difference, the contrast between light and darkness is between Jesus Christ and the one, the author of the lie. That's the deal. And somebody that lies all the time, they don't have Christ in them for sure. At least in my view, they don't.
It's in that wall.
Because it's the Holy Spirit would convict you to a point where you couldn't sleep or whatever, I don't think. So it says this, you know, all his days he eateth in darkness, and he now hath much sorrow. So this darkness brings upon mankind sorrow. That sorrow is 3708 and that is anger, grief, spite, and wrath. And with this wrath comes pain, hurt, and suffering, along with that disease that we just talked about, that sore evil, that sickness that brings about disease. And we realize that generally when we pick up a disease, it's nothing good. And so when we look at that verse 17 again, all his days he also eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Verse 18, behold that which I have seen. So Solomon says, 18, 19, and 20 has dealing with a long life, or looking for a long life. And we all have the hopes of looking for a long life. That's what keeps driving us to be here. So he says in 18, behold, see, that which I, Solomon, have seen, it is good and comely. It is well beautiful for one to eat and drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor or his toils, that he taketh under the sun or on this earth. And all the days of his life, or his allotted time, which God Elohim giveth him for a gift, for it is his portion, or it is his inheritance. Because when God gives you a gift, it may not be all, but it will be part of your inheritance. Maybe all of your inheritance. And so, that's pretty self-explanatory verse there. Then it says in 19, every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. Now, we have it in the Lord Jesus Christ. These people here did not have him. They had the promise, but they didn't have Christ. It says every man from Adam, from also to whom God Elohim hath given riches and wealth, and hath given the power to eat thereof, to take, gladly receive with thanksgiving his portion, the gift of inheritance, and to rejoice or enjoy his labor or his toil. This is a gift of God Elohim. Verse 20, it says, for he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. And it says here, for he shall not much remember or come to be able to recall or to call back the days of his life. Why? The question in my thought here was why? The past is the sinful past. And so when it's made right, God is trying, Christ is doing away with this sin in the world. When he puts it all under his feet, there won't be any more sign of it, even a sign of it, much less the real thing. It says, because God or Elohim answers or causes things to respond to him in the joy of his heart in Christ. Then we get down to chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. He goes back to self-riches again in the structure. And in chapter 6 and verse 1 it says, there is an evil, a ra'ah. If you look, I think in appendix 44:8 is that word ra'ah, which I, Solomon, have seen or witnessed under the sun or upon the earth. And it is common among men. It is common among Adam, or it is common among humanity. A man, it says in verse 2, a man to whom God hath given riches, wealth and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desired. Yet God giveth him not the power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. And this is vanity, and it is an evil disease. And here we come up with that sore or that evil disease again. And if you look at the word man there in verse 2, it is ish. One of understanding. To whom God, the true God, hath given riches, wealth, and honor. In verse 5:19, where we just read, it was called a gift of God. So that he wanted nothing for his soul or for himself, or his nephesh, if you will. Of all he desires, you know, man looks upon things and wishes for it. And that is generally what is talked about when he's talking about desiring something. He longs or wishes for that. He said, yet or moreover, God, Elohim, giveth him not the power or the ability or the privilege to eat thereof, but a stranger uses it or eateth it. And we find a lot of times that, you know, it seems like the man is prospering and doing well. And it seems like he has much, but then it seems like someone comes along and first thing you know, he don't have anything. And that certainly can happen. And Solomon has seen this and understood this to be vanity. That which is seen is soon to vanish. And it is an evil or a sore disease, that which can be passed from one unto another. A disease is something that's catchable. You know, you can have something that's not contagious. Well, is it really a disease or is it just an affliction? Or what is the difference between a disease and affliction? An affliction can be something that's on your mind that you can't get out of your head. It can be, it can come on you in many ways and many facets with man. A human, humanity, that can happen. And, so when you look at this verse of scripture, it's pretty, it is a pretty fat statement there that, God can give a man riches, wealth, and honor, and he could want for nothing. He could have all that he desired, but yet, here comes somebody along that's a stranger and gets it from him. And it says eateth it, but means to take it for his or to use it.
Seems, yeah.
And he says this is vanity and an evil disease.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't real meaning on that, was he?
And you know, lots of times you have, as I said, you have things to come along that, for some reason or other, people has bad luck and loses what they work for, a hurricane or a tornado or fire or anything come along and destroy what they've got. And they look around and they don't have anything left. And it's just many ways that you can can become destitute after having plenty. And another thing, the biggest thing that works on mankind is whenever they get riches and wealth and power and all this, they're always afraid that somebody's going to take it away from them.
Yeah.
That is the darkness that's in mankind and in that situation. Let's read on. It says, if a man beget 100 children and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. So he's made another pretty good assumption here of man in verse 3. And this is talking about men's children, those that are his. If a man, an Ish father, because generally an Ish was a father, a married individual in most cases, beget, and that's Yolad, 3205, and that is to show lineage, and 100 children, and that children there, that was added, and live many years or become old, so that the days of his years may be many, and his soul, or he himself, his nephesh, be not filled or satisfied with good. And that good is 2896 in the Hebrew, and it means to be well favored. And also, that he had no burial. And I looked at this and I scratched my head for a minute. And I said, Lord, show me what this is talking about here. And what came to my mind, and this is Solomon talking here, and Solomon is familiar with the Jerusalem area. And he's acquainted with the Valley of Hinnom. And I'm sure that he has seen the poor and the dejected, or the ones that didn't have family or something, that was pitched into
the fire,
to the dump in Hinnom. So he said, and also that he hath no burial. Even if he had all these children, they didn't have anything to do with him. He could be tossed into the fire to be destroyed and in him. Okay. I Solomon say that an untimely 5309, the word Naphel, and that means something fallen or an abortion had. So he says, and I Solomon say that an untimely fallen or an aborted birth is better or has more goodness than the man that would have been thrown in the garbage dump to be burned up. Now that's what I got out of it. If you disagree with that, you certainly have a right to. It says in verse 4, but he becometh, for he cometh in with vanity and departed in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. Here we're dealing again with the long life issue. verses 4 through 9 deals with a long life thing. For he cometh in the untimely birth of verse 3. He comes in with vanity. And that vanity there is the word habal, that which is soon to vanish, and departeth or leaves in darkness or in sin, and his name shall be covered or hidden with this darkness or this sin. In verse 4. And he goes on to say this in 5. Moreover, he hath not seen the Son, nor known anything. This hath more rest than the other. So if you come as an aborted one, you generally come in a death. And he says, moreover, and as he hath not seen or looked upon the sun or the light of day. That's generally speaking about an abortion. Or one that was born, you know, not being able to live. Nor know anything or not come to know life. He says this had more rest. And that is 5183 in the Strong. And that's nakost. And it means a descent or a quietness than the other, or than the other one, or one living. So in 6 it says, yea, though he had lived 1,000 years twice told, yet hath he seen no good. Do not all go to one place? So here's the question. And he said, yea, though if he lived 1,000 years times 2, twice fold, yet hath he seen no good. If he lived that long, and he had not understood what Elohim had given him as life and gifts, and he didn't recognize that as being good, what happens to him? The question is, do not all or everyone go to one place? Do they not go to Sheol?
He's already made that statement.
Yeah.
In the 3rd chapter.
Yeah. So, he come to the understanding that if you are not here to do the good of God, that to go back to the grave is the way we're all going to go. But you see, Solomon doesn't mention resurrection very much, if any. I haven't really seen it. So it's just like, well, if you don't get in the program of God, if God's program is not good for you, and you're going to go back to the grave.
Yeah, it's going to end sadly for you. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of what I get from that in that situation. And it says in 7, all the labor of man is for his mouth, and yet the appetite is not filled. Tell me about that one. All the labor, or all the toil of man, Adam, or if you want to go so far as to say humanity, all the toil of humanity is for his mouth, or the sweat of his brow.
All for me.
Yeah. I want it all. He told Adam when he put him out of the garden, he said, by the sweat of your brow, you're going to have to earn your living. So, man's general understanding is, I want it all. I'm going to reach out and I'm going to get as much of it as I can get. It's for his mouth or by the sweat of his brow. And he said, and yet the appetite, which I would consider here to be the soul or the nephesh, is not filled, because you can't feel that God placed in you that you might know him. You can't fill that with worldly things, because the worldly things are sinful things. It's all creation is sinful now. And so you can't sate the appetite that you have to reach out and get all this stuff. It won't fill you up. It don't matter how much you get. A rich man wants more. It says in one place somewhere in the scripture, let's tear down barns and we'll build more. And it says, thy fool, today your soul will be required of you. So that's just the way it is. And so Solomon says this, verse 8, for what hath the wise more than the fool? What hath the poor that knoweth to walk before the living? For what? We're talking about advantage here. There is an advantage. And I had an old friend years ago that had been in the military for years and years. And he helped me raise my boys. He'd come around and Ron and Troy would be at the shop, or we'd be getting ready to go fishing or hunting or something somewhere. And Bob would keep talking about a Jewish percentage. And I never did really fully understand back then what he kind of meant by Jewish percentage, but that's another way, I guess, of a man saying an advantage. Because certainly Israel, the nation of Israel with their bloodline, had the advantage over everybody else in the world.
Paul even says that in Romans, what advantage then hath the Jew?
Yeah.
Much every way.
Right. So the advantage hath the wise. For what advantage hath the wise more than the fool? One who despises wisdom and instructions. You know, if you're dealing with a fool, you can't teach him very much. Wisdom and instruction just kind of goes over his head. And so I think that's a good question. For what hath the wise more than the fool? What advantage, I guess, hath the poor or the wretched? Or in a state of not being in the will of God, that knoweth or understandeth to walk, and that walk there is halak, it's not yalak. It's 1918 in the Strong's, and it means to go as man leadeth himself. We did a 3-year study on Yalak and Halak. Mm-hmm. And this is Halak, and that's to go as man takes himself he's not going in the way that God wants him to go. He's not being directed by, he's not being directed by the way that God has laid it out that he might walk. And in this day and age, we say we have that GPS within us, that we have God's perfect son. Just like you have maybe a GPS in your car. That GPS tells you the way to go. If you program it in to go somewhere, it's supposed to direct you there. Well, the Holy Spirit in the person of Jesus Christ living within a man directs, or at least tries to direct him. And sometimes man will let the old man overtake that and go the way he wants to go anyway, because that's his nature. So it's the new nature against the old. So he says, well, we might ought to just read it again. So what advantage hath the wise more than the fool? What advantage hath the poor that knoweth to walk, that understandeth to walk before the living or before man in his day? He is leading himself before the living. He's leading himself, even if he's not in the will of God. He's not depending upon God to give him the instructions on how to go.
They didn't have the Holy Spirit.
To the people of the living. We do now.
Yeah.
See, it was with or upon at that time, but it wasn't within. It wasn't indwelling. But see, they had the law. They had the other things that could give them directions. They had the signpost basically in their minds to show them which way to go to the living. And they didn't, neither one wanted to do that.
Did they still have the stars at this time?
I'm not sure at that point in time that when Solomon wrote this, I'm not sure that that was a viable thing then. I don't know.
No, you mean whether they could knew the message in the stars?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good call. I don't know.
See, Satan had done a pretty good order on that already, too.
I know David knew
yeah.
a great deal about stars. He talked about stars in the song.
Yeah.
But that was after this?
It was before this. Okay. Solomon was David's son. Yeah. So. Possible that he did.
Yeah, David was the father of Solomon. So, you know, as you walk before the living, as you walk before your fellow man, you've always heard about first impressions. And we kind of opened up our study with the fact that there shouldn't be any, if a person was in the will of the Lord, he should never be homeless, because that light should shine or emit from him, and that other people would pick up on it and help him. But other people that you couldn't trust, you know, you're not gonna deal with them the same way that you would with somebody that you see and you make a determination that they're gonna help themselves if you put them in the right direction to go. That's kind of what is being said here, in a sense. Verse 9, it says, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. So it says, better is the enjoyment of the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire or daydreaming. You know, if you see something with the sight of the eyes, it's generally speaking, it's, you can make a determination. But if you have the wandering of desire or the daydreaming, what is that going to get you? It probably nothing. And he says, this is also vanity, that which soon vanishes, vexation of spirit. It's something that's feeding on the wind. Daydreaming is, and you know that God sometimes answered man with dreams or showed to his people or his prophets or his spokesmen would show them in a dream something that they were supposed to do for God. But daydreaming is man's concept, and it's not. So that's, you got to make the differentiation between whether those things were daydreams or whether they were the real thing. And certainly I think that's a situation, especially in that day and age, that needed to be thought out. And a wise man would think it out, but somebody that didn't care wouldn't matter to them. A daydream would be as good as the truth. Sometimes we see that today. And so in chapter 6, verse 10 through the 12th chapter, in verse 12, which is the last verse in this book, there is a question that is asked, and this is what we'll be dealing with for the next 3, 4, 5 studies. And it says, the chief good, and what is it? And if you look there in the structure, it goes from 6:10 through 7:4, and it says, man in himself. And we look at verse 10. It says, that which hath been is named already, and it is known that it is man. Neither may he contend with him that is mightier than he. And I thought there was where did I read that? Oh, yeah, in verse 10. It says, that which has been is named already, or named by God when created. And he's talking here about Adam. And it says in 10, and that, and it, dust, is known that it, dust, is man, Adam. And it says, and the rest of that verse, neither may he contend with him, neither may he, Adam, contend with God that is mightier than he. and if you look in the notes there on 6:10, it says, that which has been is named already, or what is he who hath been? If you go back and look at chapter 1, verse 9, it says, long ago his name was given, and it was understood what that name was, and it was Adam. Which means, are you there? You see what it says? Have you ever seen that before? Adam was made out of the dust, and Adam's name means a vegetable mold made in the likeness of Elohim. Hmm. Made of the earth, he returns to earth. It is vanity. This book is a comment on Psalms 144:4. And Psalms 39:49-62. Would you ever think about man being known as a vegetable mole?
No. Tony posted that note on Power Talk here, and I was reading it before you
but
said
Ronnie said last Sunday, in his study, we went back and we looked at some Genesis where he was talking about maybe man in the beginning did not have blood. And he certainly could have been a vegetable mold or molded in the manner of God.
Yeah.
To eat the herbs of the field and the things without meat and all this, you know, was not to kill anything with blood. Now, God killed the animals, the skins, I guess, and shed that blood for their covering, but that was to establish a precedent. But he says, man was made of vegetable mold. I looked at that and I said, oh, okay.
Yeah, I've never seen that note before. Kind of
okay, so, it, you
that
know.
That took me back a little bit.
This is, you know.
One more thing, sort of establishing
that. Yeah, I
no
never.
Blood necessary.
Yeah. He says, neither may he, or he may not, Adam, contend with Elohim God that is mightier or more powerful than he, Adam. Seeing, in 11, there are many things that increase vanity. What is man the better? Of all these things that are vanity, if man is not of use of God, if man cannot heed what God has said and do what God has asked him to do in the course of this test that he's in on this earth, in this life, what's the difference between the vanity that we've been talking about and man? There ain't none. It's the same situation. Okay, let's do 12 and we'll call it a day. For who knoweth what is good for man in this life? All the days of his vain life, which he spendeth as a shadow. For who can tell a man what shall be after him on the earth or under the sun? On the earth, same situation. So he says, for what man, or for who knoweth, or what man know what is good for man in this life? In the days that he's been given, all the days of his vain life, the number of them, which he spendeth as a shadow. Man cast a shadow. The only one that never cast a shadow, we're talking here about darkness again, was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ in spirit, had no shadow. When he come as man, he still had no shadow because he had no sin. There is no darkness in Christ. He came on the cross and took the darkness, the sin, and the shadow of mankind for all time so he could die himself. Christ didn't have a shadow. He didn't cast a shadow. Man cast a shadow. One that liveth on sinful earth in darkness or in sin. Every one of those cast a shadow. For who can, as to which, can tell a man or tell Adam what shall be after him under the sun or upon this earth? Except the one who holds the plan and the purpose for the ages. That's the only one that can. Show man what can come next. And he does show to us in Revelation a situation of what sin has done and the eradication of that sin, and that he turns all this back over to the Father when he's done with it. In him there is no shadow. There is no darkness. There is nothing but truth and light. Everything else casts a shadow. Even God's creation out here casts a shadow. It's sinful. Because of what happened there in the garden. I thought it was pretty good. We'll pick up with 7 next time and go on. Thank you for being with us tonight. I know we got a little late start, but I kind of ran down to 9:30, so I guess I'm pretty close to doing what I normally do.
Yeah.
With the time, with the time relationship of that. But thank you for being with me, and I give you my thoughts, and I give you what I felt that God wanted me to exercise views upon. And may that help you in some way. Pray that God would give you the heart and the mind to understand, to get from it what you really need to get. Ecclesiastes has been wonderful for me to realize that wisdom that God imparted to Solomon, even though he was had many shortcomings, just like his father, just like all the other men upon the earth, but still God grants to those that and somehow, in some way, extends what he wants man to know. And we have these pages in God's written word that this is what he put down here that we might look at. And that some way and somehow we might get understanding from this that will help us, even though it was written hundreds and hundreds of years ago. Thank you. God bless you, and pray for us.